Ladies and gentlemen, we got the geek with your hosts, J-Stu and K-Stu.
News team, assemble!
All right, welcome to We Got the Geek. This is going to be our first official news segment after the site goes public this week. Very excited. So this is J-Stu with me as usual as K-Stu, my lovely co-host. And sitting in the studio is someone I've known for 26 years, if you can believe it or not. Our good friend Andrea is here.
Hey, how's it going?
You guys met when you were 3? That's so cute.
Yeah, I know. I was 1.
Oh, sorry.
No, it was high school. Our good friend, mutual friend Scott, who's in England now, Scott Hebert. Hi, Scott.
Hey, Scott.
He introduced us at the Penn Center, and all I remember is you were wearing an Indiana Jones hat for some reason. And that's
the hat. I forgot about
that's
that.
That's all I remember.
Wow.
But yeah, 25, 26 years ago, right around the time the first Die Hard came out. So that's awesome. And you'll be here on hand in our movie segment as well to help us review the new Die Hard movie. But some geek news to get to this week. Some pretty exciting stuff, actually. I know I think Kath has some pretty exciting casting news to go with.
I do. Peter Dinklage has joined the cast of X-Men Days of Future Past, as confirmed by director Bryan Singer. It was rumored he would be playing Puck from Alpha Flight, but it was later revealed that he'll be playing the film's main villain.
And,
I still think he could play a good villain.
Yeah, and Andrea, you were saying you watch Game of Thrones now, and you think he's pretty cool on that show?
Oh, yeah. I love his character. He's the best. He'll be an awesome villain. I can't wait for that.
He kind of was a villain once before. Remember he was an angry elf in Elf?
Yeah.
That's where we first met him, or knew him from. But that's pretty cool. Yeah, they haven't said who his character is going to be yet. They're keeping that secret right now, which will be cool. So if you're not familiar, Days of Future Past is actually a big popular X-Men comic story from the 80s, which involves time travel. And many of the cast members from the old X-Men movies in the last one are going to be in this.
That's awesome.
So there's like a young and old version of Professor X and a young and old version of Magneto in this one.
Are they going to be like the same actors?
Yeah, all the same actors from First Class, all the same actors from the original trilogy.
Wow.
They just announced last week that Anna Paquin, who played Rogue, is going to come back.
Oh, wow.
And why am I drawing a blank on Kitty Pryde's name? Ellen Page?
Yes.
Ellen Page, who's gotten like super popular since X-Men 3, is coming back to play Kitty Pryde.
Wow.
So that's cool. And I guess the latest rumor is Bryan Singer's trying to get Alan Cumming to come back as Nightcrawler.
Nice.
Who was awesome in part 2.
That was one of the best characters, eh?
Yeah, I'm surprised they never brought him back for 3, but that movie already had way too many characters. Mm. Not the biggest fan of part 3.
No.
No. Too many characters. Nobody cared that Cyclops was dead, which always bothered me. Oh, there's his glasses. Oh, well.
Let's move on.
And too much Halle Berry.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping she's not back for this new one. They haven't said. But actually, I do have other X-Men Days of Future Past news, Kath.
No.
Oh, yeah. So director Bryan Singer has confirmed that the film will be shot in 3D. Some of the scenes do have CGI elements, which will be new for an X-Men film.
Really? They've never had CGI before?
No, I guess not. Just all models and creatures and stuff like that. He said that filming is going to begin April 15th and that part of it will take place in the 1970s. And one of the characters from the 1970s is going to be Richard Nixon, President Nixon. And in related news, Hugh Jackman has confirmed that the Wolverine movie in this film will be large, not just a cameo like the last one, which how great was that cameo, by the way, First Class. He went on to say that after filming is complete, he isn't committed to playing Wolverine again. But that's a good run. Wolverine in 7 movies?
Yeah.
Like
a Nick Fury type deal.
Yeah, I mean, the only other really actor I can think of that played something 7 times was Sean Connery or Roger Moore in James Bond.
Yeah.
But he'll do it again. It's the role that made him famous, and he always goes back to it.
If Wolverine sings, he'll do it.
Yeah. I can't imagine anyone else playing Wolverine now.
No, I know. He is.
Funny quote, though, when I read the interview, I guess he just found out about the new X-Men movie when he was a couple days away from finishing The Wolverine. And he has to be healthy for those movies because he works out and he's on a strict diet. So I guess his quote was, "I was all set to go have beer and lasagna when I heard about this movie. Now I have to just keep working out." So that's going to be cool. I like Hugh Jackman, though.
It's, yeah, he's got it hard.
Yeah. Poor Wolverine. Oh, Hugh Jackman. No, I like him. He seems nice in all his interviews. And
he does. Seems like a really nice guy.
Like a family guy, too.
And I have to say, he is a good singer.
Yeah, yeah.
I did see Les Mis.
How was that?
Well, it was a little weird. I had never seen any other movie or play of it before, so I didn't really know what to expect. But it felt like they rushed through a lot of really important stuff, and things would just happen, and you'd be like, wow, why is this happening all of a sudden? But the weird thing was, there would be these parts where he would be singing, and there was no music, and it was totally inappropriate.
Oh, okay.
I have to go and get a sandwich now, because I'm hungry.
Oh, jeez.
It's just bizarre. I don't know. Like, some of the songs were really good. Anne Hathaway's song was good. But it was just way too much singing. They skipped over a lot of important things and weird parts of singing in it, too.
Huh.
Yeah.
And you're a big Anne Hathaway fan, Kath.
Yes, I am.
Are you? Really?
The only thing that stopped you from going to this was Russell Crowe, I think.
Yeah.
Not a big fan?
That, and really didn't want to have to pay a babysitter to see it. But.
True. Wasn't babysitter worthy.
It'll be on the movie network someday.
Yep.
What was it? Speaking of Hugh Jackman, we were supposed to get the first trailer for The Wolverine a couple days ago, but at the last minute, they're holding it until the release of G.I. Joe 2. Yeah. It was going to play in front of Die Hard, and it was going to be on the internet around the same time, but they decided at the last minute, oh, let's save it for G.I. Joe 2. But that's, you think it's in trouble then? Because that's only 4 months before the movie comes out that they're showing the first trailer. You think that seems close? Or?
I do. But if they have a lot of CGI to do, when they rush out the trailers and the CGI is not done, everybody complains that the movie looks like crap.
You're right.
And then I'm always the defender of, they're not done with it. They have to fix the CGI. So maybe they're waiting to actually fix the CGI before they release something that looks like crap. Maybe.
No, that's okay. I was going to say, because I did some research, and compared to other movies, other big blockbusters, first Avengers trailer came out 8 months before the movie.
Really?
Yeah, first Dark Knight Rises trailer was out a year before the movie.
Really? I never noticed that. I don't pay attention. It always seems like such a long time you have to wait for the stupid movie to
come out. But I don't know, it just seemed
odd.
And
in both of those cases, people were complaining that they look like crap, because the effects weren't done yet. Hmm.
Well, yeah, I guess so.
Point taken.
Yes. She's nodding
at me.
I'm
very wise. Listen to me.
You're like the Yoda of the show.
Aw, I am.
That's a good thing, though. Okay, what else do you have for us?
MGM and Arcalis Entertainment announced that on March 7th, the Stargate SG-1 Unleashed game will be released to iPhone. It's an all-original SG-1 story featuring the voices of Richard Dean Anderson, Amanda Tapping, Michael Shanks, and Christopher Judge. The story was written by Sally Malcolm, who wrote several Stargate novels.
I'm pretty excited.
Are you getting an iPhone now?
I might, just for that. Like, I don't... I have a phone now, originally just to text you. I don't call anybody. But now I text a few people. But, yeah, I should get it for that. It's all animated, and they're saying this is the first episode. They might do more. Christopher Judge was the holdout for some reason. Like, everyone else was signed on for it.
It didn't say in the article how much the app's going to be.
I guess the villain in it is an all-new female Gu'uld. As you recall, they were the villains for the first 8 seasons.
Yeah.
It looks like it takes place within the first 8 seasons, though. Because it's the original team. They don't have Ben Browder or Fala or any of those guys.
What's his name going to be there to say open the iris? Not Don S. Davis. I'm not being an ass. The guy on the bridge.
Oh, Walter.
Yeah.
They could have an animated Don S. Davis General Hammond.
They could.
They could. It's animated. I think you like Stargate, maybe?
I love the movie. never got into the original series or Atlantis, but I was totally hooked on Universe, and then they canceled it.
You're the first person to ever mention Universe and didn't get into the other ones.
I know.
I got into
Universe because it was like all dark and depressing, and it seemed like they were never going to get home. But I thought it was great.
I liked it. I got into Stargate late as well. The show was out for 7 seasons before I started watching it. Yeah, the Space Network started running them every day. So I was like, okay, I'm going to catch the first one, see if I liked it. And yeah, I was taping it for a while. And then I eventually just picked up the DVDs.
Really?
Loved Atlantis.
Really?
You never got into Atlantis, but
no.
You liked the original.
I liked SG-1.
Mm-hmm. The last 2 seasons were kind of a drag, though, because Richard Dean Anderson left and the main villain was gone. But yeah, I'm looking forward to the game. I'll at least use yours, maybe. Mm-hmm. No?
Is it only for iPhone?
Yeah, that's what the article had said. Mm. So maybe we can rig it up on your iPod Touch. We'll see.
Awesome. Cool. James Bond news. Are you excited?
Always.
Okay. So as we've been following for the last few weeks, the Academy Awards this year are going to have a tribute to the James Bond movies. All 6 actors who have played James Bond were invited to appear. It looks like this week on TMZ, of all places, Pierce Brosnan was there, and he's gone on record stating that one of the James Bond actors has declined the invitation. But he wouldn't say who. He wouldn't say who said no. I've read previous reports where Sean Connery says no to a lot of stuff, so maybe him?
Because he can't get a pass out of the nursing home.
Yeah, he's
old. Have you seen him lately? He's like really aged a lot in the last few years.
Well, he's in his 80s now. He hasn't done a movie in about 10 years.
Yeah.
They couldn't even coax him back for that last Indiana Jones movie. You found out some news, though, that he did the voice of a James Bond video game a couple of years ago.
Yep. He came back to do that.
Yeah, so. I think it was the Thunderball game or something like that. No, it was From Russia with Love, of all movies, they did a video game of.
Wow.
Yeah. But he wouldn't say who it wasn't going to be. I hope George Lazenby is there. He was the best Bond.
Those words just came out. Yeah, recorded.
Yeah, it's a little sarcastic. They have confirmed that Adele and Shirley Bassey will be at the tribute singing songs. Adele's actually nominated for her Skyfall song. Shirley Bassey did 3 Bond songs.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Goldfinger, Moonraker, and Diamonds Are Forever, the one with the cat with
gold
the diamond collar.
Goldfinger, the finger that is always gold. Whatever. Something like that.
Oh, you're hilarious. I'm excited, and we just got into James Bond and starting in December. So.
How many have you watched so far?
9.
Wow.
9. Where we just watched the first Roger Moore one. And we saw the Connery and the George Lazenby one, and I was being sarcastic. That one was awful.
I've hardly seen any of them. I didn't really start getting into them until Pierce Brosnan's.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, but I saw one or two of, one Roger Moore one. I think I saw Octopussy.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Everybody I've mentioned this to that we're watching them now, they're like, skip the Roger Moore movies.
Yeah.
But there's 7 of them, though.
Oh, no, A View to a Kill wasn't too bad.
Great song.
Think. Yeah. Of course, Duran Duran. Yeah. No, that wasn't a bad one. If you like Grace Jones.
And I don't. So.
No.
Is she the villain?
Yeah, one of them.
Okay, Christopher
Walken's in that one, too.
Is he really? I don't remember that.
Yeah.
I love him. He's like one of my favorite actors.
Yeah, he's pretty cool. A lot of people tell me the Timothy Dalton ones are good.
I think I've seen them.
And he did have a problem with
like,
them?
Or? I think I totally forgot he was James Bond.
He's only there for 2 movies.
And then, I don't know, we were talking about it. Somebody said something about Timothy Dalton. I was like, oh, yeah. And I think those are the ones that I've seen. Like, I know I've seen some of the Roger Moore ones, like bits and pieces at least. From my parents watching it, but I think I actually sat down and watched Timothy Dalton once. I think I was like, this is the James Bond of our generation, and I got on that Timothy Dalton bandwagon for all 2 movies.
Two whole movies.
Well, he was supposed to come back for for the, I can't even know the name of it, the first movie that Pierce Brosnan did, they still tried to get him to come back, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
GoldenEye, that was it. And he said no. So, where's Timothy Dalton today?
Making Beautician and the Beast 2.
Oh, really?
That was on TV this week, and I laughed when I saw it on there.
He was on Chuck.
Yeah, he was Chuck's Volkov. He was the villain, yeah. And his daughter was, what's her face, from Walking Dead? Glenn's girl from the farm. Maggie.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You probably told me that before.
Maggie with a Russian accent. Really? But enough reminiscing about James Bond. What else do you have for us, Casey?
I don't know.
News?
Boy, this is going to be bad. I'm reading the news off my phone right now. Imagine if I was playing the Stargate game at the same time. The CW has announced an early renewal for the breakout superhero drama Arrow. Based on the DC Comics Green Arrow, the series premiered in October as the network's highest rated premiere since 2009 and continues as the CW's most watched show. Really?
Yeah, I'm surprised.
Not that I don't believe it, but I thought Vampire Diaries had, like, a big following.
And who knew about that character before, really?
Us. Emily Richards, who plays Felicity, will be promoted to series regular for season 2.
Oh, good. So she can be an idiot full-time next year? Remember, she's the one with the, Oliver brings her all the stuff every week to research, and she never questions it.
Oh, she's like the Chloe.
Yeah.
Of the series.
Like, here's some illegal stuff from my friend. Can you research this? It's for a game we're playing. Okay.
Pay me in a bottle of wine. I'll be fine.
Have you caught the show at all?
Arrow?
Yeah.
No. You know what? I've seen it advertised, and I think it looks really cool, but I just never got a chance to watch it.
It's got elements from the comic, and it also has, like, original stuff. He was shipwrecked on the island, like, in the comics, and that's where he learned the bow and arrow and all that. But they're sort of making him out to be a darker character, sort of like a Batman, I guess.
Yeah, I love that. I love dark stuff. That's why I like Stargate Universe so much. Everybody else hated it.
But, yeah, that's great news. I can't believe, I didn't expect that show to get a renewal for the second half of the season, never mind a second season.
I thought it was going to go the way of Birds of Prey.
Yes.
And we'd get, like, half almost a season. The whole season, and then, well... And they lived happily ever after. The end.
They don't call him Arrow or Green Arrow on the show, though. They call him the Vigilante or the Hood, because he wears a hood over his head.
Really?
Someone suggested they call him Green Arrow, and he just shook it off and went, that's lame.
Why would I want to be called that?
This week, Roy Harper's on, the guy who is his sidekick in the comics. So I'm interested to see how that plays out.
Isn't he Speedy?
Yeah, he was Speedy in the books. And then Red Arrow.
So, is Roy Harper and Thea going to get into a scrap over who gets to keep the name Speedy?
That'd be awesome. I'd like to see that. But I got one more news item. It's also kind of comic... Well, it is comic book related. While I'm reading that, perhaps you could find the box office, if we have one yet.
Uh-huh.
This is sad news for me, and maybe kind of for you, because you like some of the books. DC Comics Chief Creative Officer Geoff Johns has announced he plans to step down as Green Lantern writer after over 9 years with the ongoing comic. Johns will leave the series in May following the release of Green Lantern issue 20. Moving forward, Johns will shift his focus to DC's Justice League line and continue on as writer of Aquaman in the upcoming Justice League of America series. So between the monthly series, Rebirth, Black as Night, which you read, and all the tie-ins, and all the one-shots and specials, it makes over 100 issues of Green Lantern he's written. He began his 9-year run on the Green Lantern franchise with Green Lantern Rebirth in 2004, which reintroduced Hal Jordan as the premier Green Lantern of the DC Universe. So this is a character he loves, and he's had a great run. Like, Green Lantern was a boring series before he took it over. Hal Jordan was dead before he took over the series. Hal Jordan had been dead in the comics for 5 or 6 years. And he brought him back as a hero. And you've read some of the issues. I know you read Black as Night.
Yes.
He introduced a lot of great elements to the series. I don't know if you guys knew this, but before he... Well, I don't know. Well, you're hearing about it for the first time, obviously. Before he was a comic book writer, he was an intern for Richard Donner, And he actually did work for him on Lethal Weapon 4 and The Conspiracy Theory. And then he actually got to write comics with Richard Donner a few years later, so it all came full circle. So I'm sad. He's my favorite writer, and maybe I will hate the Green Lantern series. We'll see.
Aw. We'll see.
All right, so did you have any more news items?
No.
Okay, do you have the box office?
No, it hasn't been released yet. We'll record that a different time.
Okay, well, I do have some geek birthdays we can talk about.
Okay.
So first of all, celebrating birthdays this weekend, we have LeVar Burton from Star Trek The Next Generation. You might remember him from Reading Rainbow.
I do.
Yeah, I remember.
And Roots.
And I believe he tried to order a beer in the car with Stewie on Family Guy.
At McDonald's. The punchline of that joke is, at McDonald's.
Or he might have been the guy who wanted the fixins for the McDLT.
I have all the stuff. Just do it.
I don't know. He's funny. Also, William Catt, the greatest American hero. Believe it or not, his birthday.
How old is he?
I don't have their ages here. He's probably in his 60s. I've actually purchased the first two seasons of that show.
Really?
The first season was $5. I couldn't pass it up. I hadn't seen it in 30 years, and it was okay. It was a little cheesy. The effects were dumb.
Yeah.
But it was 1981.
That's the times, yep.
And then the second season was like $10. So I've spent $15 on like 30 episodes or something. also celebrating a birthday this weekend, Sarah Clark from 24. She was Nina Myers. Remember her?
I do remember Nina Myers.
Remember her excellent death on that show from Jack Bauer? You don't have any more information to give me, do you? No. Bang. And she married George Mason from that show in real life.
Oh, yeah. He was like the head of the department or something in 24, right?
William Catt is 62, by the way.
Oh, okay. So he could put the suit on and do a reunion.
Did you know that Sarah Clark was in the Twilight movies, too?
I have never seen a Twilight movie.
Really?
Have you seen them?
Yeah.
I saw the first one.
But she was the mother. She was Bella's mother, yeah.
Huh.
Wow.
It wasn't enough to make me watch the rest of them.
Interesting.
Jay's going to watch them now.
No.
No, she wasn't going to make it, so.
No.
Hey.
There's no reason.
Anyhow, so today, on February 17th.
Well, on the 16th, also, was Christopher Eccleston.
Oh, Doctor Who.
He's the first Doctor Who of the new series that came back.
Oh, and he was the Invisible Man on Heroes.
Did I miss any more there? Just checking. Ice-T.
Ice-T loves cocoa. That's geeky.
And Sonny Bono.
Oh.
Why is he listed? Best known for, like, they put, like, the one credit line underneath. Apparently he's best known for the soundtrack from Kill Bill Volume 1.
Really?
I didn't even know he was on there. Wow. Sonny Bono? Wow.
Wow.
Alright, sorry.
So, Sunday, when we're recording this segment, probably be up on Monday or Tuesday, so I don't know why I'm doing Sunday's birthdays.
It might be up on Sunday.
Jerry O'Connell?
Yeah.
From Stand By Me. He was the fat kid in Stand By Me, right?
Yes, he was.
And he was Cush in...
He was Cush in Jerry Maguire. And every time I see him, I still call him Cush.
Yeah.
And he's married to Rebecca Romijn.
Yeah, and
he's got some geek cred there.
He's got a few other geek cred. He was in the Munsters revival that didn't really take. He was Herman Munster.
I watched part of that.
I loved that. It was great. I wanted to see more.
Yeah.
And it didn't get picked up. Kath might not remember this because I think it was a Canadian show. Do you remember a show when we were kids called My Secret Identity?
Totally.
He was a kid who got superpowers and he was a fan of comics.
I just remember because everybody talks about it.
Didn't they do a remake of that?
I don't know, but his buddy, the scientist, Dr. Jeffcoat, I just saw him on an episode of Lost Girl, and I was laughing because it was Dr. Jeffcoat. but yeah, Jerry O'Connell. And he was the voice of Captain Marvel on the Justice League cartoon, which I thought was pretty cool.
Touche.
All right. it's also Renee Russo's birthday. She was in the Lethal Weapon movies, and she was Thor's mom.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. And happy birthday to Joseph Gordon-Levitt, an actor who we don't think can do any wrong now.
He's awesome.
He is. He was great. The kid from Third Rock from the Sun. Can you believe it?
No, because I watched Third Rock from the Sun now with Diana, because it's on when she gets home from school. And I wasn't, like, a big fan of the show. It was one of those ones, it was on, so I would watch it. I think it was on between two shows that I watched.
Yeah.
So I would watch it, just because it was on. And now I'm watching it, and I'm like, this show is actually pretty funny. But watching him being, like, this nerdy little kid, and I'm like, no. You're going to grow up and be just fine. Don't worry.
I said to Diana the other day, see that ugly little girl there? She grows up to be in Batman.
Well, he was awesome in Looper.
Oh, he was great. Oh, like, totally channeled so Bruce Willis in that.
Yeah.
We were saying they've been teasing a young Han Solo movie that's coming out.
Yeah.
We think he should play young Harrison Ford, too.
He's my new go-to casting for anything, pretty much. So, speaking of Die Hard, so Dave, who was on the show before, looks exactly like the guy who plays Bruce Willis's son in the movie, Jay Courtney.
Yeah.
Like, exactly like him. It's creepy. So I was telling him about it at work, and I was like, yeah, so I sat there for 90 minutes watching you run around and shoot a gun, and it was great. And then I had my Looper poster up at my desk, and I was like, so Joseph Gordon-Levitt is your dad? Robin's your dad. And he's like, that actually does kind of connect. I got very excited when he also said that his father kind of looked like Bruce Willis. Really?
Oh, man.
Okay, I have to go back to what you just said. Joseph Gordon-Levitt's going to be Robin?
That was what the rumor was going to be. That's what they implied.
I totally thought that in the movie, but nobody believed me.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, at the end, he said his real name was Robin.
Yeah, and then he discovered the cave.
And everybody's like, no, it's not. I'm like, come on.
But, they haven't cast him as anything, but they did.
Because the original Robin was, one of them was Dick Grayson, and there was another one, I can't remember.
There was Dick Grayson, there's Tim Drake, and there's Jason Todd.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they implied it. They implied it.
The characters alter egos' names, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so everybody's like, no, his name's Robin. He's not going to be Robin. I'm like, yes, he is. He has to be.
Well, that's what they implied when he found the cave and everything. And if I don't think they're ever going to do a follow-up because Christopher Nolan's done with those movies.
Oh,
but if they did,
so
he doesn't necessarily have to be Robin. He could be Nightwing. Mm-hmm. Robin grew up to be Batman for a bit. He could be the new Batman.
Like, Nightwing's kind of like the just a little bit older version of Robin.
Yeah, Dick Grayson grew up and
he doesn't have to wear the tights and elf boots.
Right.
Unless he got the Chris O'Donnell nipple suit.
Or the tights and the elf boots.
Yeah. But I was looking through his filmography, and I got to go back, because I guess he actually got his start on Quantum Leap. He played a kid on that show.
That's hilarious.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt?
Yeah, and I guess he was one of Jennifer's friends on Family Ties, too.
No
Yeah.
way. Wow.
I guess he was on more than one episode, too.
Wow.
Yeah, that guy's great. That guy's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I got, unless Kath has any to add to that.
Christina Pickles.
Oh, Ross and Rachel's mom.
Ross and Monica's mom. And Michael Bay.
Oh, director of Transformers.
He did The Rock and Con Air and good movies besides Transformers.
Sorry, I had one more, and I lost it. Lou Diamond Phillips.
It's Richie Valens' birthday? How old's Richie?
He is 51.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
Wow.
I remember seeing La Bamba in the theater, and he had an introducing Lou Diamond Phillips credit.
And also, Denise Richards turns 42 today.
42.
Wow. She was in Starship Troopers, which I saw
Starship
with you.
Troopers.
Yes, we did.
And she was in the only James Bond movie that I had seen in the theater.
Really?
I don't know. They were skiing? Something about snow? I think her name was Christmas.
Uh-huh.
Which I just kept making Chrissy Snow jokes from Three's Company, but it wasn't Chrissy Snow.
Yeah, Starship Troopers, still the grossest movie I ever saw. And
it had Doogie Howser in it.
It did. It had Doogie Howser and Casper Van Dien.
And that's when he was still only Doogie Howser.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, look, that Doogie Howser kid grew up. The World Is Not Enough from 1999.
Oh, okay.
Ooh, Robert Carlyle was in that one.
He's awesome.
Oh, Dr. Rush.
Yeah. Dr. Christmas Jones was her name. And I just kept making Chrissy Snow jokes.
And hey, Lou Diamond Phillips was in Stargate Universe 2. So
that's right.
They both have a birthday on the same day.
That's right. And he was in Young Guns.
Yes. That's his claim to fame.
I am looking through like the cast of The World's Not Enough. I don't remember a single thing about that movie.
Really?
I don't
that
remember.
That was one of my favorite James
I don't remember
Bond
that John
movies.
Cleese was even in it.
Yeah, he was Q.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, he was the new Q, yeah.
Yep.
I'm agreeing, and I've never seen it, so. I've read up a little bit. Well, then you'll enjoy seeing that again when we get there.
It'll be like an all-new experience, and I'll be making new Chrissy Snow jokes.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, I don't remember Robert Carlyle being in it, but I don't think
he
I knew who he was.
Back then, he was that guy from the Irish stripper movie.
Yeah, the Full Monty.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I didn't see that.
And he's Rumpelstiltskin now in Once Upon a Time.
Yeah, I heard.
He's creepy.
Creepy amazing on that show.
He does creepy really well.
Yeah.
When we were watching Universe originally, I remember the first couple episodes, he was the only character I gave a crap about. And then it grew on me, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Yeah.
And he was in the 24... TV movie you were insulting the other day.
Yes, he was.
What are you holding up there, Case Dave?
Picture of Dave, who looks like Bruce Willis's son.
Oh, okay.
Oh, that's who. Okay. Yeah, he does kind of now that you mention it.
You're hilarious.
We can Google search pictures and be like, look, there's Dave. Look, there's Dave. There's a picture of Jay Courtney in like a gray suit. Dave wore a gray suit to our Christmas party, so I'm like, that was taken at the Christmas party.
At the Christmas party. At the Christmas party, he was just to me that funny kid who was sitting with us. Before we close out the news segment, there's a couple news bites I just wanted to get your opinion on. We were talking about how Joseph Gordon-Levitt should play a young Han Solo. Kevin Smith has made his picks for the new young Star Wars Han Solo movie if they make it. He wants David Boreanaz to play young Han. Angel?
No.
No. Or he's on Bones, right? And he's not Bones?
He's not Bones.
No.
And he wants Donald Glover from Community to play young Lando.
That would be amazing. That would be amazing. Not David Boreanaz. I'm not a David Boreanaz
David Boreanaz would be too old for the role, though, wouldn't he? They want it to take place between episode 3 and 4... Harrison Ford was 35 when they did the first Star Wars movie. So they want someone obviously younger than that, right? Because people are like, what about Nathan Fillion? Like, he's like in his 40s now.
Hmm. He would be good, though. A lot of times actors play a lot younger than what they are.
Yeah, true, I guess.
Like, look
sometimes,
at Friends. They're all supposed to be like in their 20s, but they were actually almost 40, most of them.
And Andrea Zuckerman from 90210 was 50 when she was in high school.
Yeah, all those guys were older than teenagers.
David Boreanaz is your age, Jay.
Okay.
And he shares a birthday with Diana.
Really?
Hmm.
Neat.
And he was born in Buffalo, New York.
Hmm.
There's a little bit of each of us in David Boreanaz. I wasn't born in Buffalo. I just lived there.
Ooh. that's it. That's all I have for news bites. So why don't we end the news section this week? And thanks to Andrea for joining us.
Thank you.
And that'll be it. So yippee-ki-yay, Mr. Falcon.
Melon Farmer.